39 tonight, Genesis chapter 39. And last Sunday evening, we started looking at this portion of Scripture, and we only made it through the first six verses. And so this evening, we'll look at verses 7 through 19 here in the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis. And let me just remind you very quickly, as we began studying this portion of Scripture last week, and we noted the fact that the Bible tells us that the Lord was with Joseph. In verse number 2 of Genesis 39, the Bible says the Lord was with Joseph. Again, in verse number 3 of our text of Scripture, the Bible says that his master, that's Potiphar, he saw that the Lord was with him. If you skip down to verse number 21, the Bible says again, after he, Joseph, was accused and then imprisoned, the Bible tells us in verse number 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And then notice in verse 23, the fourth time in this chapter, where the Bible says, the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. I'm thankful for the testimony of Joseph. I'm thankful for a man that though he was sold into slavery, his brothers despised him, were going to kill him, and then sold him into slavery. We understand as we begin reading, even at the end of the 37th chapter and then the beginning of the 39th chapter of the book of Genesis, that he's purchased by one named Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard. And we find, as we studied last week in the first six verses of our text of Scripture, that Joseph, we saw him as Joseph the overseer, and we had the opportunity to be able to study through this portion of Scripture and to be able to understand how God's hand of blessing was upon Joseph, and we understand that that was a direct result of Joseph's behavior, of him living a life that was pleasing to the Lord. This evening, as we pick it up in verse number 7, notice the Bible says this, and it came to pass after these things. Now remember, there was a period of time we mentioned with regard to how long Joseph was there in the house of Potiphar. He served faithfully. It was at least 10 years that he was there serving. If you look at the details of dates with regard to events that take place here in the book of Genesis, and we find that after these things, when everything in the house of Potiphar was left into the hands of Joseph, remember the Bible said at the end of verse number 5 that the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. In verse number 6 says, and he, Potiphar, left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things, verse number 7, that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. But, thank God for these words, in verse number 8, he refused. The Bible says, and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Notice this statement, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass in verse 10, as she spake to Joseph, notice, day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. We will make note with regard to the text down through verse number 19, but this evening we see part number 2, the Lord was with Joseph, the particular aspect that we're going to deal with from this passage this evening. Last week we saw Joseph the overseer. Tonight we see Joseph the accused. Joseph the accused. What I'm thankful for as I look at this passage of Scripture, several things that are of great importance and significance to us as Bible believers and understanding the impact of this account in our lives and how it helps us. But as we look at the entirety of Genesis chapter 39, next week we'll have a missionary, but the following Sunday I'll deal with the final part of this passage of Scripture and we'll deal with Joseph the prisoner. And as we kind of look at the entirety of the chapter and we look at Joseph the overseer, Joseph the accused, and Joseph the prisoner, what we learn and what we find out is that God is with him in each of those times of his life. And that brings great encouragement to me as a child of God, because there are times in which circumstances will take place in your life and in my life that are maybe beyond what we would think is our human control. But yet God promises that he'll be with us. As we look at this particular portion of Scripture and dealing with the fact that Joseph the accused, we see in verse number 7 and 10 where the temptation is recorded. The Bible tells us that she says in verse number 7, lie with me. This is the initial temptation that takes place. And we find that the Bible tells us that he refused. But I want you to see that in verse number 10, the Bible tells us that it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day. There was an initial temptation and then there was continued temptation. And we find that in verse number 12, the final record of this temptation where she sees and decides that she's going to seize the moment that there's no one else in the house. And this final temptation comes when she catches him by the garment and she says, lie with me. We begin to think about the temptation and looking at this particular text of Scripture and what's given to us, and we understand that as human beings, we too will be tempted as we live this life. And the reality this evening, as we think about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible tells us in the book of Matthew and again in the book of Luke that he was led in the wilderness by the Spirit and he was tempted of the devil. And we find that that temptation came to the Lord Jesus Christ, and temptation will come in your life, it will come in my life, it comes in Joseph's life, and we see the record of this temptation. It's interesting, as you look at Luke's gospel account, the Bible speaks about the devil leaving for a season. And that's quite interesting to me, because oftentimes when we face temptation in our lives, you may face temptation today and you may have victory today, but you can rest assured that the enemy is going to come again tomorrow, and he's going to come next week, and he's going to come the week after that. And we find that in certain aspects of our life, as we've experienced the Christian journey, that the enemy just tries to beat us down. He tries to find that weak moment, that time of being vulnerable, if you will. And we find that it's so vitally important that we understand this evening the importance of walking in the Spirit. Why? Because God tells us in the book of Galatians that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Something that is true for each and every one of us this evening is that even if we are born again, if we've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we still have the flesh. We still have the old man and those tendencies of the old man, those the fleshly desires. And that's why the Bible teaches us in the book of Ephesians and again in the book of Colossians that we're to put off and then put on. And what a great principle that God teaches us. But we see the temptation recorded. Many of us would be familiar with the truth of 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. Turn over there with me and look at this portion of Scripture. Again, you might be able to memorize it, but I want to have us read it this evening and gather tonight from this portion of Scripture as we look at the life of Joseph, but then also make application for our own lives. Notice what Paul says to the believers in Corinth under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God with regard to this truth of being tempted. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, notice what the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man." But I want you to notice those next statement, those next words. The Bible says, but God is faithful. Aren't you thankful that we serve a God who is faithful? And we sang last week, we made mention on Wednesday evening about being thankful for God's faithfulness. But notice specifically within the context what Paul highlights with regard to the faithfulness of God within the subject matter of this temptation that you will face, that I will face. The Bible says that God is faithful, who will not suffer you, allow you to be tempted above that ye are able. But notice this, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. I've written in the margin of my Bible two things next to this verse of Scripture. Number one, God is faithful. Number two, look for the escape route. Look for the escape route. Because the Bible tells us that God, with the temptation, also He will make a way to escape. You know what happens sometimes is, unfortunately, mankind is not looking for the escape route. In fact, there's too often that mankind is looking to satisfy the desires of the flesh. And we find this evening that as we look at Genesis 39 and we look at Joseph the accused and we see the temptation recorded, he was a man that though 1 Corinthians 10:13 was not written as we have it in the Bible today, we understand that the principle, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. And Joseph was a man that lived and understood, listen, there was an escape route. And he got out. He refused and he got out. And what a blessing. Notice, as we think about the temptation being recorded, we look at the response of Joseph. And it's given to us in three aspects. As we look here in verse number 8, the Bible says that he refused. Now, I'm thankful for his refusal. I'm thankful that he initially, as this temptation comes and it unfolds in this period of time in which Joseph has served in the house of Potiphar. And the Bible simply states, he refused. Praise God for that. And I'm thankful that he recognized the position that he had, but more than recognizing the position that he had, more than recognizing what Potiphar had entrusted him with, because he mentions those things. Look in verse number 8, he says, behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house. And he had committed all that he hath to my hand. He understood that his master, Potiphar, had entrusted him. He was Joseph the overseer. He was the man that had all of this power and this control. But he also says, there is none greater in this house than I. In verse number 9, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee. Why? Because thou art his wife. And so Joseph understood. He recognized as he refused the request of Potiphar's wife to lie with me, he recognized the fact that his master had entrusted him with this great power. He recognized his position within the home. But I want you to understand that those weren't the most important things that he recognized. Those are recorded for us, and it's important that we understand. Listen, there are some places and some circumstances in life where maybe a position that an individual holds will keep them from committing some particular act of sin. Why? Because it would look really bad for that position. I understand we're living in a time where it seems as if it's not that bad anymore, and people just kind of, well, everyone's doing it, and so on and so forth. But there was a time in our nation's history where there was some level of respect with particular offices that people would not, because of an office, commit certain things. But I want you to understand this evening that just because you recognize an office, a position that you have, is not the greatest thing. The greatest thing is what he says at the end of verse number 9. Notice the statement, how then can I do this great wickedness? And notice what he says, and sin against God. You know what Joseph understood? He realized the awfulness of sin. He understood as he was being tempted and he refused and he gives this response as it's recorded in verses 8 and 9. He says, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I wonder this evening how mindful we are when we commit some act of sin, of recognizing that it's a sin against God. Sometimes if we're not careful, we can kind of sugarcoat our sin. We can kind of call it that. Just we want to use terminologies that are not too offensive because we want to make sure we still feel good about ourselves. But the reality is that sin is awful, it's wicked, and it's against God. And here this evening, as we look at the statement of Joseph, I am just looking at the where this is with regard to the dialogue within the book of Genesis, and thinking about the contrast between Joseph here in Genesis 39 and Judah in Genesis chapter 38. Now remember, we studied a few weeks ago in Genesis chapter number 38, the wickedness of Judah. And we talked about his private and his public wickedness and all that was going on and that God knows about. But Judah was in a position where he thought that he could kind of get away with his sin. Judah kind of thought that he was in a position where he could make decisions and he could have that pleasure of sin for a season, if you will, and that no one's really going to find out. But Joseph, on the other hand, says, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? This evening, I believe that what we really need in our churches and our nation is understanding this truth of the awfulness of sin. And sin is deceitful. The Bible talks about in the book of Hebrews the deceitfulness of sin. And we find here this evening that Joseph refuses. He realized the awfulness of sin. And I want you to look at Hebrews 13, if you will. Again, hold your place there in Genesis. We'll be right back. But look over at the book of Hebrews, if you will, in the 13th chapter. And I want you to see again, as we have the privilege of having the whole canon of Scripture, and we can look at and we can see the truth of what God has given us, and we can see it illustrated even here in the life of Joseph, a man that is living a life that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 13, so often we'll quote verse 5 and verse number 6, but I remind you that the Bible says in verse number 4 of Hebrews 13, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But the Bible says that whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. That word that's translated in our King James Bible, whoremongers, is a word that's also translated in other portions of Scripture, a fornicator. And so we see that here in Hebrews 13 and verse number 4, the truth of fornication and adultery are both exposed as being evil, wicked, that God will judge. You know what's sad today? Fornication and adultery has just become commonplace in our nation. It's sad. No doubt if we were to take a survey this evening of asking this simple question, do you know someone that has been engaged in the sin of fornication or adultery? I would say the majority of us would say, I know someone that's been involved in that sin. That's sad. You know what's even worse? It's become commonplace in God's house. It's become commonplace in God's house. And you say, how could that be? Because we've forgotten to recognize the awfulness of sin. We've given our place, we've dealt with, and we've begin to be influenced by a culture, by a society that says, hey, do what you want, live how you want, and do what makes you happy, and so on and so forth. And listen, that's a lie from the pit of hell. This evening, we see that Joseph, he refused. Why? He recognized, he realized the awfulness of sin, but then I want you to see that he ran. The Bible says that it came to pass in verse number 10 that she spake to Joseph day by day, and he hearkened not to her to lie by her to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house in verse 11 to do his business. There was none of the men of the house there within. She seizes the opportunity. Says that she caught him by his garment. She says, lie with me. And notice what the Bible says, that he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. I'm thankful for Joseph's response in running. Some have noted that he lost his coat, but he retained his character. And that coat that he lost in verse number 12 would cause him some difficulty in the next several verses with regard to the accusation that is brought against Joseph by the wife of Potiphar. But I want you to see that it was far better for him to lose a coat than to lose his character. And we find that the Bible says that he fled. God tells us, Paul writes to Timothy both in the first and second letters that he writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in 2 Timothy chapter number 2. He speaks about fleeing youthful lust, fleeing fornication. Sometimes we just gotta, like the Patch the Pirate song says, put on your running shoes. Amen? And some of you little kids, you know that Patch song, put on your running shoes. Get out. Why? Because God is faithful to provide a way to escape. 1 Corinthians 10:13. And sometimes the way to escape is that you got to put on your running shoes and you got to flee. The Bible says that he fled and got him out. Praise the Lord. For a man that facing this continued temptation that came day by day and day by day, that he continued to have that spiritual strength to refuse and to stand for what was right and to recognize the awfulness of sin. The Bible tells us, as we would again contrast his behavior even with others within the pages of Scripture, I'm reminded this evening of King David, a man that the Bible says is a man after God's own heart, a man who, when he was to be in battle, tarried in Jerusalem, a man that observed Bathsheba washing herself, bathing herself, and he says, get her for me. And the servant of David says, is not this Bathsheba, notice the Bible says, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. She's a married woman, David. You know what that was? That was God faithful. Putting up a bright sign of, no, David, stop. And David refused and said, get her. Bring her to me. Listen, each of us are going to face temptation in our lives. You may have faced temptation already today. You're going to face temptation tomorrow. There's something that comes to your mind as we're looking at this portion of Scripture. I don't know what the temptation is. You know how cunning the enemy is? Is that the temptation in your life is going to be different than the temptation in the life of somebody a couple of rows from you and different than mine and so on and so forth. Why? Because the Bible gives us, as we look at the truth of who our God is, but also how our enemy works, that he's crafty and he's cunning. And the Bible tells us, look, he's going to tempt you in areas where you're most vulnerable. We can think about using the terminology where somebody will, maybe they're trying to eat a little bit more healthy and they'll say, oh, that doesn't even tempt me because it's not really the kind of dessert that they really like. You've ever heard somebody use that kind of phraseology? And then all of a sudden you bring their favorite dessert into the room and all of a sudden they're tempted, right? And the fact of the matter is that the dessert that tempts you might not be the dessert that tempts me and vice versa. But with sin, it works the same way. You have certain weaknesses, and it's those weaknesses where you have that the enemy is going to try to exploit those, and that temptation is going to come. That's why it's so vitally important that we be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Why? Because those fiery darts are going to come, and we'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And we find here this evening that he becomes the accused because of his behavior, because of his refusal. It says in verse 13, and it came to pass when she, Potiphar's wife, saw that he had left his garment in her hand and was fled forth, that she called unto the men of the house and spake unto them, saying, see, he, speaking of Potiphar, hath brought in Hebrew, speaking of Joseph, unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. Now, is she telling the truth? She could not be further from the truth. That's what she says. You know, sometimes people are going to lie about you. and there's nothing you can do about it. You know what happens sometimes when people lie about us? We want to defend ourselves. And I understand that. But you know, Joseph was in a position where he wasn't able to defend himself. The Bible says that she gives this story, this lie to the men that came in after she cries. It says in verse 15, "It came to pass when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home." That's Potiphar. "And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me." Now, if you're the husband, how do you feel when you hear that? Yeah, you're enraged? Yeah, I'm angry? Guess what? Potiphar has some power. The Bible tells us that he's an officer of Pharaoh. He's captain of the guard. The Bible tells us that he hears this, which she says, and in verse 17, it says that she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, After this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled." And what does he do? Verse 20, "And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison." Now, as we look at this portion of Scripture and we see what's taking place in Joseph the accused, we learn some very valuable lessons about temptation that you will face, that I will face, and how we need to respond to that temptation, because the temptation is going to come. And, it comes in a variety of forms. There are times you can do a simple internet search for something extremely innocent that you're looking for, and all of a sudden things come up on your screen. Has it happened to you? Sure it has. What is going on? What do you do? How do you respond? What kind of controls do we have in place? See, sometimes we talk about the importance, and I think we should talk about the importance of having controls in place for young people and what have you. But understand, temptations don't stop when you turn 18. They don't stop when you turn 30 or 40 or 50. Whatever. They continue to come. And it's important that we're accountable and that we live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, and we learn how to respond to the temptation, that we always are looking for the escape route. And here in this passage of Scripture, Joseph is falsely accused, and he ends up in prison. But I would submit to you, and it will be a continuation into next week as we've looked at this chapter now in this three-part series, I would submit to you that God is at work in Joseph's life. God's at work. And there are times in your life and in my life that there are some circumstances that come in our life. We say, I didn't do anything wrong. Joseph didn't do anything wrong. He was faithful. He responded exactly. I mean, if you want a case study on exactly how to respond to temptation, this is your chapter. Outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is your chapter. And he ends up in prison. But God was at work. God was at work. You know why? It's through Joseph being in a prison after being falsely accused that God will bring Joseph into contact with the butler and the baker. And God's plan will continue to unfold in the life of Joseph. And here's the thing. Many of us this evening have read the entire book of Genesis. Many of us this evening, we know what happens in the life of Joseph. But at this moment in Joseph's life, he knew that he was falsely accused, he knew he did nothing wrong, and he ends up in prison. But he continues to serve God, he continues to be faithful. And the Bible tells us that when he's in prison, the Lord is with him. This evening, it's far better. Peter talks about it. When we suffer for righteousness, when we, listen, if we do wrong and we suffer for it, that's on you. But blessed are you, happy are ye when we suffer for righteousness. And this evening, it's far better to retain your character and your integrity and live a life that's pleasing and honoring to the Lord. That accusation comes, the temptation came, but Joseph, he's got a testimony that stands, that we look to in the Word of God and we say, look at this man of God. Look at an example of someone that dealt with temptation properly, biblically, and then see what God did in his life. This evening, Joseph the accused. Listen, you're going to face temptation. Sometimes you do the right thing. You refuse it. You recognize the evil, wickedness of it. You run. And maybe you'll be falsely accused. But before God, you can retain your integrity, your character. And we can thank God that God, He keeps a good record book. He knows. And it'd be far better to be able to stand before Him knowing that we can stand with our integrity and innocency, that we have looked for that escape route. Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray that this evening as we consider the temptation of Joseph and the accusation that's brought against him, Lord, I pray that you'd help us in our lives. No doubt, each and every one of us, we face temptation. God, I pray you'd help us to recognize that you're faithful. God, that you'd help us to look for that escape route. God, thank you that you're a God of grace and mercy, forgiveness. We sang grace that's greater than all of our sin. Maybe there's some that have failed in this area. They've given in to the temptation. They've committed the sin. God, I pray that tonight they would confess it, find forgiveness with Thee. Lord, that they'd have restored fellowship with Thee. Why? Because you're a God who's ready to pardon, ready to forgive. We have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray you'd help each of us, Lord, to walk, live in such a way that we would please Thee. Well, thank you for what you'll do, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Would you stand with me